Amen. Can you say amen? Oh, if the world only knew. If the world only knew. Jesus is the answer. They're searching. They're looking. They're struggling. And the answer is right before them. Amen. How many's glad that you know Jesus? How many's glad Jesus knows you? Amen. Give Him praise.
Hallelujah.
Glory. Amen. Well, it's good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Let our visitors know how much we love them. How glad we are that they came to worship the Lord with us this morning in spirit and in truth. Amen. Praise God. Didn't the praise and worship and the choir do a wonderful job this morning? Amen. We thank them so very much. A lot of you don't see the time and effort and the practice that goes into that, but I assure you, this is not the first time they've sang them songs. Amen. They do put a lot of work, and we appreciate that so very much. And we appreciate you. Turn to your neighbor and tell them how much you love them this morning. I hope you turn to the right neighbor. Amen. I love you, brother. When you turn to the right one, it's easy to say, I love you. Amen. Praise God. We should love each and every one. Go with us this morning to the book of Proverbs for a very short verse that the Lord has laid upon my heart this morning, or actually this week. I've been in the book of Proverbs quite extensively this week, and thank God for the Word. Amen. I love the Word. I love singing. I love praising. I love worshiping the Lord. But you know what? We're going to have plenty to do that over in heaven, ain't we? And we're going to worship and praise the Lord for in eternity. Amen. And don't worry if you don't sing in the choir here. You will there. You will be a part. Amen. And you will be on key. Everything's going to be perfect up there. I believe that with all of my heart. In the book of Proverbs, let us go to chapter number 21 and find verse number 20. Proverbs chapter number 21 and verse number 20. When you get there, say praise the Lord. The writer says in verse number 20 of the 21st chapter of Proverbs, there is treasure, everybody say treasure, to be desired, and oil, everybody say oil, in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Again, there is treasure to be desired, and oil, in the dwelling of the wise, but a foolish man spendeth it up. Can we pray? Dear gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another day, another opportunity to come into your precious house this morning of worship. Thank you for those who have gathered here today. And Father, we thank you for the songs of praise. God, we thank you for the Holy Spirit, the anointing of the Holy Ghost that we feel in this place this morning. God, I ask you now, Lord, to let it rest upon this pulpit. God, I ask you, Lord, to anoint these lips of clay, this vessel, this body today, Lord, that would be just a mouthpiece, that your Spirit would speak to us, that we would be submissive and obedient to your will and to your word. And Father, if there's any needs in the house this morning, God, I pray, Lord, that you would meet those needs. Any sickness or affliction, we know that you are the healer of the body. But God, if there's anyone lost under the sound of my voice today, let this be the time, God, that they accept you as both Lord and Savior. And we'll give you praise and honor and glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. God bless you. You may be seated. Give the Lord another hand clap of praise if you would this morning. You know, we can't do that too much, by the way. Amen. We can't thank Him enough for all that He's done. Just want to get right into the Word this morning. If I had a message title, it would be in the form of a question. Is there oil in the house? Is there oil in the house? The oil comes from a Hebrew word. The Hebrew word that is for oil is used in the Bible, shemen. It's actually a tree of oil. And history tells us that it's mentioned over 190 times in the Bible that you and I love so much today. And the majority of times that it's used, it refers to the olive oil or the olive tree which the oil comes from. And that in itself is a wonderful lesson if you've never studied how the oil is derived from the olive and the olive tree. It is very informative and a blessing even to look and see how that it is, how it comes. The olive tree, they tell us, takes a long time to grow. Many can identify with that. But when mature,
They can last well over 100 years and continue to be productive. A good oil supply in the Bible was a sign of stability and prosperity. A lack of oil, on the other hand, was a sign of agricultural or financial disaster. The Bible tells us that the oil had many purposes, some that we're familiar with, others maybe we have overlooked, but certainly it was used for trade or bartering. It was used as a personal income. Certainly it was used in cooking and the baking of bread, fuel for lamps, lubricant for skin and hair, aromatic purposes, medication purposes, a source of healing, and also it was used in royal and religious procedures. The writer of Proverbs puts great emphasis on a good oil supply, a treasure to the wise who keeps and maintains it, a detriment to the unwise who foolishly spends or wastes it. Many times the Bible uses oil to symbolize our religious, or our spiritual rather, relationship with God. And how many knows that Jesus taught in a parable of the 10 virgins the importance of keeping our oil full, or our lamps full? Notice even the 5 foolish virgins once had a bright burning lamp. I want you to let that sink in this morning. Jesus used that parable, and he used it as a type and shadow or symbolism of our relationship or our spiritual anointing from the Lord. How many knows our spiritual anointing comes from the Lord? Amen. Thank God for that. We was singing the song about Jesus and certainly the world. Jesus is what the world needs. I don't understand. I don't see how people make it on a daily basis without a relationship with the Lord. I, for one, could not do that. I need Him every hour of every day. And I want to always make sure that spiritual relationship is as strong as it possibly can be. You know, we don't understand and we don't know what tomorrow may bring. But there's a song that says, I know who holds tomorrow. How many is thankful for that? That we know that we can have a relationship with the Lord Jesus. So whatever I face tomorrow, whatever I face next week, whatever problems or issues may arise in my life, I know that I have a comforter in the Spirit of the Lord. I know that I have a guide. I know that I have a Savior who will keep me through all of these things. But the Lord described and used this parable of teaching that 5 of the 10 virgins, they made sure that they had plenty of oil in their lamps as they went to wait on the bridegroom. And so many times we think, and as a young boy, I was thinking about, you know, the word foolish, and I was thinking about how insincere or how uncaring or how absent-minded or whatever things comes to a boy when he hears this particular parable read that the 5 foolish virgins were. But the more that I study and the more that I look into that and the more God begins to reveal, you know, the 5 foolish virgins were not terrible people. Well, they were not people that didn't have any affiliation or any affection for other people. They were just not adequately prepared. Can I say that term again? They were just not adequately prepared. Now, the preparation that I want to bring to our attention this morning has nothing to do with our ability. Many knows that we've often said, man, I didn't see that coming. I wasn't prepared for that. Sometimes our grandkids come across with some things. I tell people, I wasn't prepared for that. These kids are amazing what they know and what they can come up with, and some questions. I mean, man, you just scratch your head sometimes at the questions they ask, and you don't want to just blurt out anything. Grandkids think grandparents know everything. We have got them thoroughly fooled. We don't. Amen. Many times I say, I'll get back with you on that, and I go and have to find a dictionary, find something, and get back to them. But being adequately prepared really has nothing to do with our ability or our planning nature. It has everything to do with our dependency and our relationship on the Lord Jesus Christ. I do not mind telling you, I am nothing without Him. But I can also reassure you, I can do all things through Him. Amen? And we need to know that too. Amen? We don't need to be mealy-mouthed. We don't need to be weak. We don't need to be wavering, amen, when it comes to problems and obstacles and situations in our life. How many knows the Bible said, I will give you power, or that you will receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you? We have power. We have strength. We have might through the name of Jesus and through the infilling of His Spirit. We are more than adequately prepared if our spiritual oil is where it's supposed to be. Many knows we need to kick the jack on it. Does anybody here have an automobile that the gas hand does not work on at all? Anybody? A work truck? If the gas hand doesn't work, what do you do? Keep filling it up. Amen. I used to have a car. Amen. Said it would pass everything but the gas station. You got to keep that gas oil full. Amen. My granddaddy had an old rattle trap of a truck in his yard. He loved to piddle when he was younger, and even in his older age, he would piddle with lawnmowers and things like that. Just was amazed, and it was might be what you refer to as a shade tree mechanic. Although I didn't see him working under too many shade trees, but that's what he was referred to as. And he was pastoring a church in Cedartown. Now, you know, sometimes we think it's hard if we ain't got money to go to the barbershop or the nail salon or the beauty shop. But in these hard times, he didn't know if he's going to have enough gas to get to Cedartown from Rockmart to conduct a service. That's how hard it was. But you know what? Not going was not an option. Thank God for those people who paved the way for us. We got it so easy. We got it so much made. So he begins to pray, Lord, I need a way. I need to get to church. And I just don't have enough gas. And he was out in the yard, and he had done checked the cans. How many's ever done that? Just hoping. Yeah. Might be a little gas in there, just enough to get that little bit of grass cut. And it's not enough. Got to go to the store and get some. Right. Well, it wasn't an option with him because he didn't have money to go to the store and get any. So checked gas cans. Nothing was there. Went out there, put his hand on that old truck, and he said, Lord, I know that you can make a way. God, I'm depending on you. I don't have the money to get over there, but people are depending on me. And he's shaking that truck. He said, Lord, have mercy. Marvin's left a gas cap off of that truck, and it's full of water. So he goes and gets a siphoning hose and sticks it down. I mean, knows what a siphoning hose is? I bet your kids and grandkids have no idea. My generation knows what a siphoning hose is. Sticks it down in there, and he proceeds to pull out, I believe it was 3 gallons. And my generation's going to show, the prettiest red gas you've ever seen. Just enough to get him to Cedartown to conduct the service. After service, he said, a man who had never been in the service before shook his hand. And the pastor, thank you for the message. And he had some folded up paper. My granddaddy stuck it in his pocket. It was enough money, amen, to get him back home. How many knows God makes a way? I don't know why we worry. I don't know why we fret. I don't know why we're wringing our hands. If we'll keep our spiritual all full, God will make a way. Hallelujah. But it's up to us to maintain that relationship in the good times as well as the bad times. Keep checking it. I love that. Keep checking it. If your gas hand ain't working, keep checking it. My daddy had a saying, bless his heart, when he got a little older, sometimes he'd get in my truck and ride with me. First thing he would do would peep over the gas hand. You got enough gas, son? I said, yeah, I got a half a tank. He said, you half empty. Amen. Some of us Pentecostal church members are quite happy being half full. when in fact we're just as much half empty. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. Is there oil in your house? Is there oil in your house? If there is, it's a treasure. It's a blessing. Glory to God. It's a way maker. Hallelujah. It is a confidence builder. Praise God. It is a faith rewarder. Hallelujah. It is a healer of the body. It is a touching of the mind. It is a focus on the will of God. If there's oil in the house. Amen. But the foolish man spendeth it up. One interpretation says the overconfident man foolishly spends it while he's got it. And then when he needs it, it's not there. He looks for his treasure and it's not there. How do we keep that spiritual oil flowing? Now, I don't want you to get a misconception that I'm telling you that if your oil gets a little low, you're completely backslidden. That's the case. I've been backslidden a lot of times. But thank God, in His infinite mercy and His overwhelming forgiveness and His abundant grace, forgives me when I'm a little lackluster, forgives me when I err in the way, forgives me when I let my oil drain down a little. What drains your oil? Circumstances, frustration. I'm wondering if I get any amen on this next one. Not getting your way. Amen. You ever pouted your lips at God? Come on. We've all done it. It wasn't what I was expecting. Wasn't you praying the will of God? Well, yeah. But His will's supposed to measure up with my will. Where does it say that? My will's supposed to measure up His will. Come on. Many, many things will cause that spiritual oil not to be at the level that it needs to be. And you know what? Sometimes you may can coast along like that. But when I need God, when I need His healing, when I need His anointing, when I need Him to open up a door for me, I need my oil as full as I can possibly get it. I need my relationship with Him as strong as I possibly can, because that is when I know that I can't make it without Him. But I know that He's not going to cast me aside. Hallelujah. Let me put it in very plain English. When I have a need from God, I don't want to have to hit the altar first and pray for me before I can pray for my need. Well, that didn't go over real good. Maybe you've never done that. But I've actually come to the throne of grace before and had such an overwhelming feeling of guilt. Because maybe I hadn't been as close to the Lord as I needed to be. Maybe I'd let other things infiltrate my spiritual life. And here I am praying for God to make a way when I ought to be praying, God, get me closer to You. And in the center of Your will. So again, I'm not saying these five foolish virgins were terrible people. They were like many in the world today. Just kind of floating along. Just kind of halfway in and halfway out. Come on, sometimes you need to lean to the in instead of the out. Hallelujah. My daddy's older brother had a little store that we loved to go to. Amen. We used to get on our bicycles, and Mother wouldn't let us get on the paved road. We had to go around through the dirt road and come in way out of the way. I don't know why she didn't let us go on the paved road. I mean, cars only doing 60 70 miles an hour, you know. But she wouldn't want us on the payroll, so we'd go around. And in the wintertime, we'd go around to my uncle's store, and back in the back of the store, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you ain't got a clue. A potbelly stove. A potbelly stove. And you know what about a potbelly stove? It'll burn you up on one side and freeze you to death on the other. That ain't the potbelly stove's difference. What am I trying to say? It's not his fault. I stumbled over that. It's not the potbelly's stove's fault that you're hot on one side and burning and cold on the other. You hadn't learned to turn around. Glory to God. We've seen too many people hot on one side, cold on the other. God, keep me hot all the way around. Whether I'm in the pulpit, whether I'm in the altar, whether I'm on my job, whether I'm at home, whatever I'm doing, keep me hot. Keep me hot. Keep me on fire. Let the oil flow. Because I know that when I get cold, it's when I become foolish. But the five foolish virgins just failed to be adequately prepared with their oil. Is there oil in your house? Have you let your supply diminish? Are you just kind of average with your relationship with the Lord? Just kind of call Him whenever you need Him. You want a blessing? Go to the Lord and never ask Him for a thing. Just love Him. Praise Him. Adore Him. Exalt Him. You know what? It's hard to do. We're in such a habit of asking things from God, we can't hardly get through a prayer without saying, at least bless me. Or at least keep me. Man, it's very difficult. And you know what? God's so understanding, He does. He blesses us. But for the life of me, I think, and I don't know the mind of God, His ways, His thoughts are higher than mine. But in my little finite mind, it would just... I would just think that every once in a while, He'd just like to hear from us when we didn't need nothing. Just to glorify Him. Just to praise Him. Just to thank Him. Just to love Him. But the five virgins who were classified as wise didn't know how long they was going to be away from the house. Didn't know how long they was going to have to be waiting on the bridegroom. So they took sufficient oil. Sufficient faith, sufficient preparedness, sufficient prayer life, sufficient Bible reading, all enhances that spiritual oil that flows in our body, in our house. The house is the earthly tabernacle. Is there oil in your house? If there is the supply good? Is the supply sufficient? Amen. Another thing, talking about my dad, he never wanted to go home with just a little tank of gas left with the attitude, I can get it in the morning.
Well, come on now.
I am convicting myself like crazy. I have left Villareca. Happened to notice that my gas hand was splitting that E. And that's when I was working, and that's when there wasn't very many 24-hour service stations open. And you know what I did? It's 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm on fumes here. And it's a long way to the warehouse. God, I need You to let this gas last me as soon as I get to a filling station. Lord, I promise You, I'll pull in and I'll get me a little. Does that convict anybody but me? Oh, I don't know if I can make it through this week. I don't know if I can make it through this sickness. I don't know if I can make it through this problem, through this trial. Is there oil in your house? Has it reached a detriment low in your spirituality, in your faith? If there is, there's an antidote. Because that oil will flow free if we desire it. Hallelujah. And it's a treasure when we have that relationship. But where I really want to go this morning, I want to go to the book of 1st or 2nd Kings, chapter number 4, in the book of 2nd Kings. You don't have to stand for this, please. But I want to bring to our attention or to our remembrance the significance of oil and what we sometimes think is a small relationship with God is really a fantastic, gigantic proportion in the hands of an almighty God. Many people say, well, you know, I just don't feel like I'm qualified to do this. God doesn't care about your qualifications. He'll qualify you. He just needs your obedience and your submissiveness and your willingness to go. In 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha. You remember the sons of the prophet who were dedicated to Elisha, so much so that they traveled with him, they ministered to him, they were with him constantly. Thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord. And the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? And before he gives her an opportunity to answer, he says, tell me what thou or what hast thou in the house? And she said, thine handmaid hath not anything in the house, comma, save a pot of oil. You know what looks like so little to us is all God needs? Somebody told me, well, brother, I just don't have but a little bit of faith. You can move a mountain. Really? I thought it took that much faith. You got faith as a grain of mustard seed? I used to have some mustard seed up here. It was so little, I guess I lost it. There's a whole jar of it. I just got a little bit of faith. You get one of them little grains of mustard seed, you can start moving some mountains, or God can through your faith. Hallelujah. I like what she says. I got nothing in the house. Save a pot of oil. You know what that's like saying to God? I ain't got nothing in my billfold except $1 million. I ain't got nothing in my meal barrel except a handful of meal. Can you not see God with handfuls all of me? Then he said, go borrow thee... Do
what?
Go borrow thee vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And you know, we read the Bible so fast sometimes. Imagine. Here's this lady, and let me tell you something. Every one of her neighbors knew her condition. That was before telephone. That was before text message. That was before FaceTime. But you think you got secrets in your neighborhood? No. They knew her condition. She's knocking at the door. Can I borrow a vessel? Can I borrow a vessel? What's that? Mustard seed. Praise God. I'm going to use this mustard seed. Can I borrow a vessel? And I know what you're saying. You got a little pot of oil and you want my vessel? Well, yeah, that's what God told me to do. I don't know why he told me to do it. Listen, quit trying to analyze God's will. I don't understand it. You don't have to. Is that too hard? You don't have to. Is that better? You don't have to understand. Brother Jim, I ain't got to understand his will. I just got to obey it. I haven't got to have it analyzed. I haven't got to have it step by step. If he says go, I just need to go. If he says stop, I need to stop. When he says go borrow vessels, I don't have to ask why. I'm just doing what God told me to do. And using faith. I need to borrow vessels. And so, even empty vessels. And when thou art come in, thou shalt... Ooh, I love this. Shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons. This next part, I don't know if I can say it without shouting. And shalt pour out...
But God, if I pour out this little bit I got on somebody else, how am I going to make it next week? Lord, surely you don't expect me to give all this away.
And they're waiting on, say, oh God, oh I'm sorry, I thought I was talking to somebody else. God don't make mistakes. He said, you go into that room and you shut the door upon you and your sons. You and your sons could be any need that you're facing right now. There's a time when it needs to be us and God. Not us and everybody else. What did she do? What did they do? Shut the door, your spiritual closet. Get in there where there's no interference, where there's no ball games, where there's no television, where there's no phones ringing. Leave your phone.
No, brother, I can't take my phone away. Mama, don't take my phone away. Put it outside. Shut it up. Amen. With you and God. It's just you and God now, Lord. I've sacrificed everything, Lord. I've laid it aside. I know I can't make it on this little bit of oil, but God, I'm going to pour out to you. And something miraculously happened when she shut the door, when she got rid of all the interference. She kept pouring and pouring and pouring and pouring. And pouring! And pouring! She got so excited. She said, bring me another vessel. I filled them all up. Her son said, we don't have any more vessels. Hallelujah. You mean to tell me that woman who was facing the loss of her two sons, her home, everything she had, and God took a little pot of oil. She even described it as a little pot of oil. A pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessel. She did. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door. She did. And shalt pour out into all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. Somehow, I don't think that she really tried to adequately distribute that oil. Because if she fully was obedient unto God, then she filled up the first vessel. Had been some of us, every vessel would have got a drop.
Because sometimes we're more concerned about how many we witness to instead of what kind of quality the one that we witness to. Do we fill that vessel up or do we give them a drop? I remember a precious saint of God from the Cedartown Church that my granddaddy pastored. Her name was Susie Ollis. Her memory will live on forever in the Allen household, because Susie Ollis was known to make some of the most scrumptious, delicious cakes that your palate could ever have an opportunity to delicately. It was one of those pieces of cake that your stomach wanted to swallow, and your mouth said, "I'm going to hold on to it as long as I can." It's delicious. But something about Sister Susie, she would give you a very thin slice of cake. Because she wanted to feed everybody, and she wanted to make sure everybody had one. To this day, we still say, "Give me a slice of cake and don't give me a Susie cut." Or if you just want a little bit, and I've even said that, "Man, I'm full, just give me a Susie slice." My family knows exactly what that is, a Susie slice. I don't think this woman was like that. It would have been a miracle in itself had she took the pot of oil that she had and filled up the very first vessel. Because right then she realized there's more in that pot than I thought. But then she filled up another vessel. And then she filled up another vessel. And you know, we got faith, but I guarantee she looked at that. Pour it out. Excuse me. I'm just pouring. I'm just pouring. I'm just pouring. Lord have mercy. Seems like the more I pour, the fuller it gets. That don't make sense. That's impossible. How many knows the things that are impossible with man are made possible by God? Quit questioning it. Just pour. Glory to God. There's another vessel. There's another vessel. Give me another vessel. Praise God. And you know what he asked for? You're going to love this. He asked for empty vessels. I've been pouring it out on full vessels. I hope y'all full. How many of us take the opportunity, seize the opportunity to fill up empty vessels? Glory to God. Oh, this is great. This is wonderful. Praise God. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. Would you say that with me this morning? She poured.
She poured out. Pastor said I'm supposed to pour out, so I'm going to pour out on you today. No.
Come on. Say it with me like it really was the miracle that was being performed. On the count of three. One. Two. Didn't say three. I wanted you to get a big breath before I said three. On three. Three. She poured out. Did you feel what I felt? She poured out. She poured out. She kept pouring out. And kept pouring out. Glory to God. Not just a little in them vessels. She filled them full. Praise God. And it came to pass. That's God's way of saying, and it happened. Anytime you see and it came to pass, you can bank on it. When the vessels were almost full. Three quarters full. I ain't been this full in years. I'm feeling pretty good this high full.
Where do you get full?
Then she said unto her son, she's having a time, bring me another vessel. He said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. I know that means the oil quit. But I want to look at that. The oil stayed in her house too.
I can't give everything I got. I won't have none. I dare you. I charge you to try to outgive God. It ain't possible. It'll come back to you in an enormous wave. Amen. You won't be able to contain it all, the blessings that He will bestow upon you when you pour out of that oil that God has blessed us with. Then she came and told the man of God. And he said, go sell the oil and pay thy debt and live thou and thy children of the rest.
Wow. When's the last time you done that with your dollar? Give one to everybody. Yes, see. Are you blessing or whatever?
Yes.
Then you still got as much as you started with. And then you go and cash that in and you live for the rest of your life.
On a little pot of oil.
I want to leave you with this. Is there a pot of oil in your life, in your spiritual life, that God can use? Have you maintained it? Have you let it deplenish? Or are you just happy with this, just me and myself and I? Are you willing to share that with others? Are you willing to pour out upon others as God poured out upon you? On the day of Pentecost, there came a sound of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, where they were praying, where they were in expectation of a mighty anointing. I can tell you this, you'll never be able to give it all away. You'll end up with more than you started with. I can't explain it, but I don't have to explain it to believe it. I believe God can take a very little bit and multiply it and bless and anoint. But the thing is, they're all in your house. Is it as full and bright as it once was? Or has it grown dim? How many knows that when the electricity goes off, you can flip that switch all day long? How many of us do it out of habit? We know the electricity's off. We walk into another room and we flip the switch. And we get exactly what we expected. Nothing. Amen. And then we run to where we always keep our flashlight in case the electricity ever goes out. And we're tired of flipping switches and nothing happens. So we pick up our flashlight and we mash the button and nothing happens because we fail to put new batteries in the flashlight. Who can we blame if we're not prepared? Who can we blame if we're not prepared spiritually? Because there will be trials. I don't take joy in telling you that. I'm just preparing you. There'll be dark days. There'll be times when you're wondering where in the world God is. And that's when He's carrying us most of the time. But if you got oil in your life, spiritual anointing in your life, and it's full where it needs to be, you got more than sufficient power to see you through any circumstance, any situation, any sickness, any affliction, any setback whatsoever. Isn't God great?
Amen.
I said, isn't He God great? Isn't He wonderful to live inside us? Is there oil in your house? They're all in the house. Would our musicians come, if you would? As we prepare to close this message, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice has that adequate, that full supply of oil. Maybe some do not. Maybe some realizes that it's not where it needs to be. What can you do? Well, first thing you can do is say, Lord, fill me up. Fill me up. Fill my cup, Lord. Fill my cup. And when my cup is filled, then the ability to overflow on somebody else is present. Hallelujah. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed, every saint of God praying. Let me say it this way. Every saint of God pouring out. If you're here today and you don't know the Lord, won't you come? If you're here and you have a need, won't you come? Fill my cup, Lord. Just worship the Lord.
Fill my cup, Lord. I lift it up, Lord.